Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next-day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you don't recognize ghosts as being there, they'll just go away, right? Things will taper down. It'll be calm. It'll be okay, right? Not a way of thinking that really works for ghosts or the living, for that matter. I think we've all had experiences like that with other people where it's like, well, if we just pretend that it's not a problem, it'll go away. How the hell did that work out for you? In our next story, we hear about teen years that begin very slowly escalating in paranormal activity to the point of oppression. Not possession, but oppression. What does that mean? That means when someone is almost being compelled by the entities that they're surrounded by to act out in certain ways. Certain aspects of this can very easily be confused with possession, but that's usually a step or two down the road. It is on that road, without a doubt. It's kind of like the exit ramp. Oppression or possession this way, just take the oppression ramp sign and you'll get there. It's a very troubling story that someone is still dealing with to this day. Take a listen. I don't really know where to start. Some would say the beginning, but I'm still unable to identify that place or time at this point. The things I've been experiencing have been happening since I was very young, about 8 to 9 years old, with both minor and major intervals coming and going, but lately it's been getting worse. I wouldn't say I'm here to seek help, though I do have questions regarding what's going on with me. And I'm undeniably scared, terrified even. But I'm remaining calm while listening to your podcast. Sometimes it gives me hope because I can relate to others and their experiences. This all started a long time ago when I was about 8 years old. I was staying at my aunt's house in North Wales in the United Kingdom. I'd always stayed at my aunt's house since she moved there when I was just 6 years old, and nothing seemed to happen before. She lives in a house that actually had the name Rambler House. I'm told it used to be a 14-bedroom inn going back to around 200 years or so. Could be even longer, judging by the interior and some of the plumbing. Every single room has a very odd feeling to it, and the house is big. So as a whole, it feels very intimidating to me. This time when I was about 8, I went to stay there during the summer holidays like I always did. My aunt used to plan days out each year, and this year we're going mountain climbing with my uncles in the van that she had with a picnic and things to eat and drink while we were there. While traveling, we almost got lost because of the woodland, and we had to drive through a lot of it to get there. But the road signs got us to our destination despite my uncle's stubborn attitude. When we got there, it was really misty and very empty, which was strange because we saw pictures of the mountain area and public area on the internet and TV many times before. Where we ended up felt nothing like that, so we looked around. Apparently, we ended up in the mountains 50-ish miles south of Snowdon, where we wanted to be, but it was fine. It looked nice, peaceful. My relatives decided we'd spend the day here. I, being 8 years old, feared anything scary looking, so the fact that we were in a people-less, rocky, misty, deserted area with almost no life at all besides the few birds flying overhead, I didn't feel good about it at all. Nonetheless, I trusted my relatives and tried to enjoy myself. My aunt and mother stayed in the van preparing food and chatting over tea while me and my uncle and two cousins walked up the path onto the mountain. I needed help for a lot of it because of how steep it was and how young I was at the time, but I enjoyed the walk. I loved the countryside. When we got 130 feet up, we were on flat land again and found a deserted old house or barn. I couldn't tell the difference. So we, even though my uncle thought it was private property, went over to check it out. Inside, it was black, like it was burnt out at some point. Cobwebs everywhere. No evidence at all that anyone had lived there for a very long time. My uncle said he needed to go outside for a moment to see if he could get any reception to call my other cousins to come up and see the place, since walking back down would take around 40 minutes of time. I was inside with my cousins looking around, and something shiny stood out to me. I remember this clearly because I always liked shiny objects at that age. I went over to see what it was and found what seemed to be the top of a spear. You know, the blade part? Either had rusted or dried blood on it, I'm not sure. But it looked more like blood to me. Being young with a crazy adventurous mind, I went to pick it up. Then, a sudden, perhaps predictable moment, a gust of wind hit the house, and one of the glassless windows fell through. I ran out. I was terrified and paranoid, convinced myself it was a wizard, after being told many stories that the ancient Welsh wizards lived in this mountain areas, and they're now ghosts. At this point, I then began begging to go back down to my mother because I was so scared. We ate the food and drove home because my aunt's arthritis was hurting because of the cold weather. When we got back home, it was dark, and I usually always go upstairs to my cousin's bedroom. He's always in there listening to music, being lazy and jobless. I always know when he's in there because you can see shadows under his door and hear the music on, and you just generally have a feeling that someone is in there. I had this feeling, so like always, I went in. I walked in expecting to see my cousin lying on the bed, but no one was there. Just the music playing. My aunt followed me in and told me to knock off touching his stuff. She accused me of putting the music on myself, but I didn't. According to her, though, Brian was in his friend's house, two towns away, and no one goes into his room when he's not around, which is true. I still wasn't scared or paranoid at this point because I had no reason to be. The following years, to come at least another 5 or 6 years, nothing happened there. However, when I went back when I was 16, almost 2 years ago, things started to happen that have changed my life since, and the reason I'm writing this story to your podcast now. We drove over to my aunt's house from Liverpool in England, where I was staying at the time. It was late at night because my uncle prefers driving that distance at that time to avoid traffic. We got to the house around midnight. My aunt, who's disabled, decided to send my uncle to get some pizza because it was just us three home in this huge house while he and I stayed in and waited for him to get back. She told me to go and shower because I still had sand in my hair from the beach earlier that evening, so I did. The shower was on the second floor and always freaked me out because of the very old tap and sinks and the sense of being watched. I had this sense for years. She said, "Hey, go take a shower. Leave your dirty washing outside of the door and I'll leave you some fresh clothes outside to put on when you get out." I said, "Okay, let's take a shower." And while I was in the shower, I heard squeaking, a sort of metal sound coming from the window, but assumed it was just the old house being a generic old house. Next minute, a bang outside on the door. I quickly asked who's there, and my aunt replied, "It's only me, silly. Your clothes are here outside the door. Don't take too long. It's really late." I replied, "Okay." Relieved that I was being stupid after thinking it was something else. I finished my shower 5 minutes later, opened the door a little to let some steam out, and started getting dried. The house was silent at this point, so I figured my uncle still wasn't back and my aunt had fallen asleep downstairs on the chair, watching TV in the dark like always. As I was getting dried, I kept seeing something, be it light or dust or something else, out of the corner of my eye outside the door. I was paranoid, but I ignored it and laughed it off. I picked up my cell phone to check the time, to text my friend Jess. I almost dropped the phone when I looked at the door again and could just make out the figure of a man bending over by the door. I assumed it was my uncle and said, "I'll be out now. I need to get my clothes and I'm not decent. Can you move away from the door, please?" I heard him walking away and the footsteps stopped. I opened the door, looked at the floor, and my clothes weren't there. Then I noticed my socks further up the corridor on the floor. Then I jumped back and I saw a shadow figure of a man walking around the corner at the end of the corridor with my clothes under its arms. I knew it wasn't my uncle. It had turned really cold and the house was still silent. I put my uncle's house coat on and, perhaps naively, I followed it or where I thought it had gone. I got to the landing area of the second floor and it was really dark, only light enough to see where I was going. So I reached to turn the light on and it didn't work. This wasn't unusual. They lived close to the mountains, so power shortages were common. Then I heard voices, then drums, and then music. Marilyn Manson, to be precise, playing from Brian's room. I assumed it was him. Maybe he was back home. I hadn't seen him in 12 months. He'd come home maybe and took my clothes as a prank. So I rushed in and felt a gust of icy cold wind in my face as I opened the door. I looked around and two of his posters on the wall tore on their own. And I saw my clothes, completely unfolded and laid out on his bed in the shape of a person. This was very distressing. Shirt, pants, socks, all where they would be. I freaked out and ran out down the stairs to my aunt. As I ran, I felt like something was walking fast behind me. I got down the stairs, and through the glass door, I saw my uncle. He was knocking, but I couldn't hear the sounds from the knocking at all. My aunt came in from the kitchen and said, "I've been trying to open the door for 10 minutes, but the locks won't take a key. Can you try?" So I went and tried to open the door, and it was still stuck. I pulled and I pulled and I pulled once more and the door opened this time, but with it, a huge, deep, manly scream moving up the stairs, leaving an echo with it. Both my aunt and uncle screamed with it, were just as confused and terrified as I was to what was happening. Everything calmed down beside our hearts. The house went silent. We sat up trying to talk about what just happened, but none of us could. They came to a sudden conclusion that it was the stormy wind rushing in. As I managed to open the door, I didn't agree, but I agreed subconsciously for the closure I so definitely needed that night. We all slept downstairs. My aunt said with the storm, it would be too cold upstairs for us. The house was so old, they didn't have a heating unit upstairs. The next few days were calm. No more stuff happened. My cousins were still out of town until Friday. Friday came and my cousins came home, one of them anyway. He always let me stay in his room with him whenever he was there on the top floor of the house. Cutting the day short, it was Friday night and really late. We were going to bed, in fact. We said goodnight to one another and tried to go asleep. My cousin fell asleep fast. He was tired from his drive home from earlier that day, but I couldn't sleep. I wasn't exactly paranoid, but I felt like I shouldn't be sleeping quite yet. It's like I had to make sure no one was on the same floor as us. After about an hour, I started to fall asleep. Then I was awoken by deep movement noises coming from the stairs outside of my room. I opened my eyes, looked around, trying harder to concentrate on the noises as they got louder. Like whatever it was, it's coming faster and closer to the top of the stairs. I swiftly sat up to look at the door, then whatever it was, judging by the sounds, ran up to the last few stairs very fast, and the door opened, leaving a huge bang and a gust of wind. My heart jumped through the roof. My cousin woke up and shouted at me to not be so noisy when going to the bathroom. I said it wasn't me, it was something else, and I could still feel it being there. He then sat up too and asked if I was serious, and I told him I was, then told him what happened earlier this week. He said, it's important you don't pay attention to things like that. Ghosts, if they exist, go away when you don't invite them in. He's trying to get some sleep. It's late. You go home tomorrow, so you need to be awake early in the morning. I had no choice but to agree. He closed the door, got back into bed. I turned over and laid back down, trying to go to sleep. I felt like something in the room I couldn't see was watching. I felt there was eyes on me from a ghost the entire night. We drove back to my home the next morning. Just leaving the car and seeing the house from my outsider's perspective was enough to ensure me that it was not me just being paranoid. Not a person that frightens herself with fears, not at this age. When we got back home, my mother was smothering me. She said I looked drained, like I hadn't slept, and something was bothering me. I told her I hadn't slept, but I'll be fine after a good night's rest. That night, completely forgotten about stuff. At the house, I got in bed and quickly fell asleep, feeling safe for once. That soon changed, though, when I was woken up by something at 3 a.m. There were shadows under my bedroom door. I thought it was my mother, so I called out, Mom, is that you? The shadows moved side to side. There was two of them. Then came towards the door. At this point, the memories of the house hit me. I sat back against the wall, pulling my blankets up to my neck, scared terribly. These things were coming towards me. I could feel it. That silence I experienced filled the house. It was growing cold in my room. My childhood figures I still had stood on the furniture in my room. They started to shake like someone heavy was walking next to them on the floorboards or an earthquake was happening. Then I felt the bottom end of my bed pressing down like someone was leaning on it or sitting down. It was happening slowly, like whatever it was sitting on it very, very slowly, leaning over towards me. At this point, I lost it. Fear overthrew me, and I ran out, trying to open the door with that same impossible strength, holding the door shut, but it finally flew open. I needed to get out. I didn't care how. I ran downstairs and stayed in the living room with the lights on. My mother and father came down, and I explained everything to them. Since then, it's gotten worse. My mother is very religious, and she persistently invaded my life with her preachers about the church and seeking help from a religious leader, a man of God. She asked her friend, a father, to come and talk to me. He asked if I was troubled or if I genuinely believed there were ghosts with me, and I was shocked. Until now, I hadn't openly considered that I had spirits stalking me. Not really. He said I'm probably just overstressed with schoolwork, and my mind is playing tricks on me. I agreed since I respected this man from a young age and left the room going upstairs to get my shoes. I heard him asking my mother if she wanted the house blessing for assurance, and she said yes. I don't know why, but hearing her say yes filled me with uncontrollable rage. I went into my room and punched a hole through my wardrobe door, in which I got grounded for two. Like I said before, these two events were the start of what I'm going through now and have been for the last 11 months. Each night I heard many male and female voices whispering deeply, but I can't make out what they're saying. Stuff in my room moves. I keep waking up with unexplainable scratches on my legs and sides. I know they're ghosts and spirits, and they have control over me. Not like possession, but I feel like I can't do certain things without them getting angry and violent with me. There's no end to my story because it's still happening to this day. I know no one can help me. But just knowing if someone can relate would be enough. I had to get rid of my dogs because for 11 months ago, they started attacking me for no reason, barking violently and biting only me for no reason other than I was there. I can only hope that one day this oppression ends. Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.